I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, gorgeous. How you doing? Welcome to our podcast. If you're thinking, man, I wish there was a podcast about video games, movies, pop culture and Star Wars, then guess what? We've gone through the archives and we've found the podcast for you.
We found it. We've dusted it off.
We
got it. It's right here. We brought it to you. Hello. Me and Dean, we have lots of lovely chats at 2 a.m. when our brains are a bit fried. And we wanted to sort of capture that and put it in podcast form.
Yeah. So. And the problem is we realized that our 2 a.m. conversations just become how we speak normally.
We've alienated
everyone we love.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. all the time. It's got to be 2 a.m. somewhere, right?
I don't think that's how time zones work, but that's fine.
It's
2 a.m. somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I should introduce you, Bertie Gilbert. Should I do that?
Yeah. Thank you, Dean Dobbs.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're not aware of Bertie Gilbert, he is a short filmmaker. Hopefully, he's going to do some long films at some point. But he's a lovely man. He makes lovely films about worthwhile topics, exploring the human condition and other things. Are you liking these compliments?
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Also,
loving
he's it. A bit fit.
Oh, my goodness.
Also, you should probably check out his YouTube channel if you want to.
That's where they live.
All the films are on his YouTube channel. Yeah.
We got Dean Dobbs over here, my friend Dean Dobbs, an equally lovely man.
Thank you.
He's been doing comedy sketches with his friend Jack for about a decade now. Jack and Dean. And let me just say, for 10 years, Dean has had second billing. And you may notice with this podcast, that has changed.
It has.
It's about time. Dean, you're the star. How's it feel?
It feels good.
Does it? Oh,
it
good.
Makes sense that this is, when I'm the leading man, you can't see my face for it. It makes total sense. it's cool. It feels weird.
Yeah. Well, here we are. We're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about today, Dean? Where are we going to go on our little adventure?
We're going to go through space, mate.
Oh my God,
we're
going to
explore the infinite cosmos.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and we've got someone to help us do that, haven't we?
Who?
I think his name is, let me just see. PJ Liguori.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's a YouTuber, short filmmaker. Has he made anything long? Oh, he's made a series. He made Oscar's Hotel.
Yeah, that was quite long. And you made two things.
That was quite long.
You made two seasons of a thing that were quite long.
Yeah.
I just need to make something long and then.
Yeah, and then this is long.
We'll be long boys.
We're going to be long boys.
Yeah.
Anyway, so welcome to the Long Boy Podcast.
Yes, boy. Tell me, what have you been up to, Dean?
Well, I've recently been taking part in the Sundance YouTube New Voices Lab. Ooh. Can you tell that I struggle with that name? Because it's the most unnatural sounding name in the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially Sundance have this, a kind of like a film school, basically, where they ask people, aspiring writers, filmmakers, actors, whatever, to send a pilot for a film or something like that. And then they basically go through all of these applications and pick the best ones. And then they go, hello, people, you did the best ones. Do you want to come over to America's and learn how to be better at what you do? And that's essentially what I've been doing.
Ooh.
Me and Jack, my comedy partner, we wrote a pilot for something and we've been sort of working on it with them, and it's been very, very interesting.
Has it been a nourishing experience?
I would say so. I think I've come out a better person because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially like a collection of workshops that all focus on different aspects of filmmaking.
Right.
And my favorite one was an acting workshop.
Ooh.
I've never done acting workshops before. Never like studied acting before. But our teacher was a woman called Joan Darling, who is, as she says, arguably the first working female director in Hollywood. She did MASH, Mary Tyler Moore,
awesome.
Like Happy Days, stuff like that.
That's wicked.
Yeah, and in this acting workshop, she got us all to sort of stand in a circle. Bearing in mind, me and Jack didn't know any of the like 13 other people that were there.
Mm.
And she said, look to the person on your left and pretend that they're a person you wish you could speak to right now.
Right.
And luckily, Jack had me on his left, so it wasn't too awkward. But I had this woman, Sinead, who I didn't know at this time, and I thought, what I'll do, I'll go light on her, or, you know, nothing too intense
or whatever.
And so when it came to be my turn, I turned around and said, you were incredible in The Last Jedi. It was a very weird experience to say goodbye, but at the same time, it was great to see you again. And she was just so confused. But then after the whole thing, she went, I'm really happy that you decided I was Mark Hamill for a bit.
Yeah, no, that's a compliment if I've ever heard
I actually meant Benicio del Toro, but that's... no, it was
great
real.
To see you again. Yeah,
it's great to see you, DJ. Don't join. Yeah. What a great name.
Yeah. So why were you picturing Mark Hamill? Of all the sort of... I mean, like you said, you were trying to pick on something not too deep or sort of harrowing, but clearly it means something to you if you picked
him. Oh, man, okay. Well, I mean, you're going to get me in the sop straight away.
Yeah, go on.
So, I don't know, like, Luke Skywalker was the first, like, movie character I ever really connected with, you know?
Yeah.
So I was... so excited for him to come back. Obviously, like, Force Awakens has, like, one of the most, like, iconic endings ever now.
Yeah.
Just because of all the mystery it implies, like, her going up, Rey going up the stairs, the music.
The rubbish drone shot.
The rubbish drone shot at the end. Yeah, that was really happy they did that.
Yeah.
But, Last Jedi was such a, like, I was like, what are we going to get? What's Luke's deal? Because we know he's not just going to grab the lightsaber and go, hey ho, let's go.
And off we pop.
Yeah, and I didn't expect him to be a jaded, swampy old man living with some fish women or something like that, drinking blue milk out of elephant sea things, titties and stuff like that. But I, in a weird way, the fact that he had given up but then found his place again, like, you know, found hope and a reason to sort of carry on, basically just found the bigger picture rather than just what, you know, concerned him. Was like, I thought was quite inspiring for me because I thought giving up was arguably the most human thing he's ever done in those movies.
Yeah, well, that's my sort of weird thing with it and all the people who hate what happened to Luke is like I feel like this is the first film that's properly made him a complex character.
Yeah.
And people are upset about that.
I love Mark Hamill and I love what he did with The Last Jedi, even though he famously now hated it.
Yeah.
He hated it so much. Like he was not afraid to tell people during the press tour for The Last Jedi that he hated what
he did.
It's
very peculiar. Like, I equally admire and sort of think, like, come on, man, just...
Yeah, like...
just get it over.
You're like, really
just
bumming people out a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, no, he... But the thing is, at the same time, for someone who didn't want to do it, he did an amazing job.
Of course he did,
like, he really committed to
it.
Because he could have phoned that in.
Absolutely.
Like, he could have, like, totally
and
just...
And I respect him for... He understood how important that character was.
Yeah.
And for him to kick up a bit of a fuss is just a very healthy relationship with the director, it seems, that open dialogue.
Well, I'm going to say, in the documentary, The Director and the Jedi, Luke, not Luke, Mark Hamill says Rian Johnson's name wrong. He calls him Brian. He goes, I told Brian this. I fundamentally disagree with what you did.
Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson. Listen, I literally like played it on loop over and over again.
No.
Like, Brian, Brian, Brian. I was like, oh my God, he hates him that much.
No, I take it back. He doesn't even know his name.
Yeah.
That was not good.
No, it was really funny. Like,
But you had a good experience.
Yeah.
You had a good experience.
Yeah, it was a really great experience. It was just something I never thought I would like take part in. And also, it got so deep. So incredibly deep, like, you know, writers, you know, when they say writers, you know, are really like sort of not pretentious, that's not fair, sort of very inwards looking people. It was very, very interesting. And I almost felt like I didn't go deep enough when it came to Mark Hamill. But at the same time, the more I think about it, I'm like, no, I really, really do love Mark Hamill and I love Luke Skywalker. Yeah. I don't, when I bring up those guys, it's never lightly. Like,
no, absolutely.
Never.
Absolutely. No, you have to buckle in. This is,
exactly.
You're going on a bumpy ride. I mean, acting workshops and stuff, I did loads of them when I went to theatre school.
You went to theatre school?
I did, yeah, I did.
You never told me that.
I think I've mentioned it.
Nah, you haven't.
But, like, the thing is, you had this nourishing experience you were there for, what, a week, something like that?
Yeah, a week, yeah.
Yeah, I was there for 6 years, and even though I had a very lovely time, I have teachers that truly inspired me. A lot of the stuff that sticks out isn't necessarily, like, all the stuff I learned and all the wisdom. It's shit like how... two Love Island contestants, count that, two. They've done four seasons, right? There's not many people on the face of the earth who've been on Love Island, and two of them were at my school.
Oh, my God.
And then also this Amy Winehouse thing, because my school loved to, like, prop up anyone famous who'd been to the school. They loved to, like, celebrate, like, look, you went here. And Amy Winehouse was the big one. Incredibly iconic person.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she was only there for, like, a year, and I think she got kicked out, but whatever.
Which is great. That's so on brand.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly, exactly. But the thing that always made me laugh was we all got our own like dictionary, and they were like passed around for years and years and years. You have it for a bit, you put your name in, whatever, and then you give it back at the end of the year. And you put your name in, you put the date, and every single one had Amy Winehouse's name in it.
Amazing.
Every single one in different handwriting. The dates were wrong. They couldn't even, these people who were pretending to fucking be Amy Winehouse couldn't even double it. 1954. Oh, really?
I'm just trying to figure out what the handwriting would have been like. Because it's Amy Winehouse.
It's Amy Winehouse.
Is it like sort of a posh school, I guess?
I don't know. We didn't have very good handwriting.
What? Oh, really? Okay, because no. I always imagine, like, is anyone doing, like, calligraphy, like...
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
No. And it was just, like, literally every few months, someone would go, oh, my God, look, I've got Amy Winehouse's. This is incredible. This is... I bet she wrote her, like, her songs using this and
I feel
that.
Connected to her ghost.
I feel connected to... Yeah.
I was visited by Amy Winehouse's ghost. She took a dictionary.
Buy a dictionary.
Return my dictionary.
Destroy it. No, it's like a Horcrux.
Yeah, it's a Horcrux. I can't leave this mortal plane until you destroy my fucking
dictionary. Which one is it?
Just destroy all of them. Not for the dictionary definition of suffering.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm glad you had a nice experience, Dean.
That was good. I'm glad you had a nice time. I'm glad that you maybe had Amy Winehouse's dictionary.
I might have done one of them. At least one of them must have been hers at some point.
Maybe.
So maybe I did have that one. Anyway, space, Dean. The freshest, most recent Star Wars film, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they made that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
So it was a film.
It came out. Yes.
We join Han Solo in the most important part of his life.
Yeah, that time where he had loads of friends that he never mentions again. Yeah. And go through some stuff that he also never mentions.
What's your opinion on it? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Well, I don't hate it. It's not a bad movie. I think more so than Rogue One, I think kids will really like it. I think kids will find it really fun. And I think you sort of have to bear them in mind, definitely, with all these Star Wars movies. Like, they're ultimately space wizard movies for kids, and this is like a space cowboy movie.
Yeah, I'm definitely I'm definitely a little bit jealous that I don't get to grow up with that movie. But at the same time, I grew up with the prequel trilogy. So that's a privilege in and of itself.
Yeah. But no, the thing is, I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but then the moment I left, I had to very quickly recount what happened because it was leaving my brain because I felt like the biggest crime a Star Wars movie can commit is it's just being vaguely forgettable. And I think that was...
Yeah, and being a bit boring, which I think this movie did. The thing is, it's like telling the untold story of Han Solo, but there wasn't an untold story because we got the story.
Yeah.
Like, we did... Mm-hmm. I can't remember who said it, but the whole point was... Travis Knight, who directed Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yes.
He said that the whole point of a story for a character is that the story you're telling right now is the most important story for that
Absolutely.
Character.
Absolutely. It's got to be the most important thing they would have gone through or the most sort of important journey.
Yeah. And there's not... The story of Solo, A Star Wars Story, I don't know if it's the most important part of his journey. There's not really anything that really informs the original trilogy. Like, it doesn't...
I don't know what is the most important thing. Is it maybe the 40 years where he was estranged from his son and his, like, best friend betrayed him and, like, ruined his life? That seems pretty important.
That sounds quite boring, actually.
Yeah, does it sound rubbish?
Han Solo and Luke Skywalker having an argument because Luke Skywalker accidentally created the next Darth Vader. Does it sound interesting at all?
No, it sounds boring. But then, I don't know, him falling in love with Leia and joining the rebellion also... It sounds kind of important, but I don't know if it... I don't know. The thing is, he's not the main character. And I think he works well as like a side character. He works well as a secondary character. It's not his story, but he's sort of there for the ride. And I think having something that is his story... The thing is, I like the character. I like the Han Solo we got in Solo. And I like the cast and I like all of that. I think if he wasn't called Han Solo, if like it wasn't Lando Calrissian, maybe if it wasn't even in the Star Wars universe and it was just some brand new space opera thing, I don't know. I think I would have preferred it. But I think the biggest thing it's got going against it is the fact that it's Han Solo and the fact that it is a part of this bigger thing. I don't know. It's not bad.
Take away, I don't know, the aliens out of Prometheus And it's just any other space movie ever. Like, I mean, I'm sorry to bring up Prometheus. It's been a long time.
You don't have to apologize. Yeah, Prometheus is a funny one. Do you remember, like, Guillermo del Toro was going to do that film? What was it called?
Mountains of Madness.
Mountains of Madness. And then he went to the cinema. You know, he went to his local Cineworld with his unlimited card, and he watched Prometheus, and he was like, well, fucking...
With his unlimited card.
Well, he just saw the film I just saw the film. Well, yeah,
Prometheus, like, I remember when I saw it, I was like, this is Mountains of Madness by Lovecraft.
Yes.
H.P. Lovecraft.
H.P. Minecraft.
H.P. Minecraft. the iconic author.
Yeah.
Who basically kind of sort of invented the whole, like, sort of space horror.
Yeah.
He was the first person to, whilst the entire human race was staring out at space and going, wow, what's out there? Lovecraft looked at it and went, I don't want to know.
Yeah. Was he the 1800s or was it the early 1900s? I can't remember.
It's like the late 1800s, something like that.
Long time ago. And yeah, his whole thing was like creating these like cosmic beings that saw us as like paltry, saw us as like irrelevant.
They even made us. Yeah. And they made us. They're basically playing Sims with us.
Yeah.
That's essentially what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, they're just meddling with us for fun, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's such a shame because like when Del Toro saw that movie, I would have loved to see Del Toro's movie of that.
And the thing is about Lovecraft, like, yes, he originated so many sort of he planted so many seeds for what so much sci-fi is now, and he's such a very iconic figure, but I mean he's a bit of a problematic bloke.
He's a bit racist. Let's not dance around it.
Let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
He was a bit racist, and there were crumbs of that in his work, right?
Yeah, quite a lot. He would
crumbs, whole
like,
cake.
Call of Cthulhu, like there's they describe a I won't spoil the story. It's a short story, so definitely check out. It's really, really good. But it's written from the perspective of a scholar who's basically come across a stone bas relief. So any Lovecraft fans, that's the little meme, because he says bas relief a lot in that story. And when I first read it, I went, what is that? What does that even mean?
Stone bas relief.
Yeah, it's just a big statue, basically.
Okay, lovely.
There's a big marble statue of Cthulhu, this you know, horrible space god.
Sort of looks like a kind of a dragon that has tentacles.
Well, he's like an octopus. Basically, take a dragon and then change its head to an octopus.
That's essentially what it is. Well, yeah, Dean, we've got a story about Cthulhu, but do you want to like just give them a little rundown? We've got the wiki page.
Yeah. Open. So Cthulhu, I'm reading this is his description on the wiki page. Cthulhu is a great old one of great power that lies in a death-like slumber beneath the Pacific Ocean. In his sunken city of Rala, he remains a dominant presence in the eldritch dealings of our world.
Does he really?
He does, yeah. He's still quite active. Yeah, yeah. He's doing a lot for his community.
Well, I mean, we're aware of I mean, he gets... Obviously, he's got his work, but on the weekends, we know he's a top bloke, isn't
he? He's a top bloke. He's a bit of a party animal.
So basically, me and Dean, this one time, were on the roof of my old flat, and it was late, and we'd been, like, hanging out all day, and we'd been talking, and this is that very, like, 2 a.m., brains fried like conversation.
Well, we were looking at all the sort of big buildings around us.
Yeah, we were looking at the skyline.
Imagine, because initially it started with Godzilla.
That's right.
We said like, imagine, think about Godzilla's scale and put it next to that building. Yeah. And suddenly it becomes quite real.
I've played many video games. I've seen many films. I've never been so immersed in a story than when me and Dean were constructing this narrative that we then replaced Godzilla with Cthulhu. And we were like, oh my gosh, imagine if he took that building, threw it at us, and I saw it fly past me. I saw it, and then he's like causing all this destruction.
Like shooting beams out. Yeah. I don't even know if he shoots hyper beams out of his mouth.
Let's say he does.
I like to think what he does when there's masses of people, he like his hand, like he just looks at them and raises his hand, and their souls come out.
Yeah.
Like, that's all he does. He doesn't even. And
just
everyone
eats
like
it.
Raisins up. Like,
that's chicken nuggets. That's chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets, yeah. Mate.
that's fast food.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a feeling. But then he singles me and Dean out.
Yeah.
He singles me and Dean out and he says, come with me. He puts us on his shoulder. We're talking, this guy's like 100 feet. Yeah. He's like a giant.
And he doesn't say it out loud. He always communicates by the brain.
That's right. And I'm like, oh my God, did you just fucking hear that, Dean?
I'll be like, yeah, I did.
Should we go with him? I don't really got a choice.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he just picks us up.
Yeah.
And pops us on a shoulder each.
And doesn't he goes into the sea or he starts running?
I remember he's smashing cities around and carrying us around and we're shouting, we're sorry, we don't have anything
we're
to do with
this. We're not part
of this.
And don't I Instagram live it?
Yeah, we Instagram live it and we're like screaming.
Oh my God, what the
like,
imagine,
what are we doing?
And we were like imagining our friends going on Instagram and seeing, oh my God, Dean and Bertie are on Cthulhu. They're
and you've accidentally put a Frye sticker on there.
Yes!
It's like, ah!
Sound on.
Yeah, sound on.
Sound on.
Come on.
I've got time somehow to put the sound on thing. And then, but then basically he takes us into space, right? He takes us like halfway across the galaxy. He turns into more of a suitable human form.
Yeah,
he still got the tentacle face.
He shrinks down. And so how he described him, where he had a dragon's body and an octopus's head. Think a male contestant from Love Island, but with an octopus for a head.
With octopus for a head. He's got like a nice little like thong on.
Do you think he's got like a little... is it purple? Purple little thong, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's purple.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it's purple.
Has he got sandals on or is he barefoot?
Oh, my God.
Because he ain't got shoes on.
No, he's. I think...
He's got Toms. He's got some Toms sandals. He's got some... He's got some Tom Sanders.
It's like, where did he go? Was he wearing those the whole time?
Yeah.
And then he takes us to a club halfway across the galaxy. And we go on this incredible journey. But then it ends up with us, you and me, lying like opposite each other in a bed, looking up at the ceiling. You said it was like a hotel in Coruscant or something.
Yeah, I'd say it was like a hotel from Coruscant. Basically, like it's like a hotel in space Dubai.
Yeah.
Like we're sat there like...
Flying cars zooming about.
There are like, what is it? Bacardi Breezer bottles everywhere.
That's the thing. We're like, Dean... That's Bacardi Breezer bottles. Like, we're in... Why? Halfway across the galaxy.
Does Bacardi Breezer come from space or did they steal it?
Yeah, I don't know. And we can hear Cthulhu next door having loud sex. he's brought someone back and I'm like, Dean, I want to go.
There are like several alien babes in his room. Like, and we just sat there, like just looking at the ceiling.
And the thing is, like, he's not even like, doesn't last very long. Like they leave, like, he's just alone. And then he knocks on the door and he's like, hey, do you guys want to hang out? There's a new episode of Westworld. Do you want to catch it?
Yeah. He comes down on the sofa, he pulls out a cigarette, starts smoking.
He's like, you guys had a good time then? You have a nice time?
We're a bit confused.
We're like, when's the next like train? Like, can we leave? Like,
do you want a Capri Sun?
Where have you got those from?
Capri Sun and Bacardi Breezers.
I like the idea that he's got all these drinks from Earth. You're like, why has he got Earth drinks?
Come on, lads. Come on. Let's fucking go mental. Do you know what I mean?
Chuck into a fruit shield.
Yeah, come on, bastard. Dean, he's called me a bastard now. I don't want to go home.
Yeah, all we can think about is when we were back in London. And this is basically 6-7 hours.
And we were there. Like, when we were telling this story, I was there, Dean. That happened to me. That feels like something that happened.
Of the club, like this was like a party planet.
Flow Rider, like space Flow Rider, the equivalent of Flow Rider in space.
You know, this version of Cthulhu would be friends with Flow Rider.
Oh my god, not even the space one, our one.
Yeah,
Flow Rider.
But
Flow Rider's gonna pop mine a little bit. Do you want to say hi?
He's like, no, honestly, could we just get an Uber home or something?
And you and me have a Facebook group chat, and he's not on it.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, I couldn't find you the other day. Like, is there like a Facebook group chat or whatever? No, mate, no, it's fine.
No,
we'll message you.
Yeah. We're like, can you just take us home? Can you not just snap your fingers and send us back?
Yeah, I could do that, but I'm having a good time. My friends, I don't want to, like...
We're here for two weeks.
I booked the holiday.
Like, oh.
I just thought we'd go to Benidorm or something. Like, I don't want to go to this far-off, distant
then
planet.
Then he goes, oh, we'll go to Benidorm, and it turns out it's a planet called Benidorm.
For fuck's sake. For fuck's sake. What have we got? We got Planet Bognor Regis, Planet Benidorm, Stoke-on-Trent, Anyone? Anyone?
Planet Stoke-on-Trent.
Any takers? but yeah, that was an incredible spacey adventure that we went on, wasn't it?
It was very strange.
It was just so vivid. It took a while for me to like decompress from that and like return to the real world.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, friends, we're very lucky to have our first guest with us today. It's our bloody good boy, nice boy, kick the PJ himself, PJ Liguori.
Hi, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. We really do appreciate it. For those who don't know who you are, give us a little brief on all things Kick the PJ.
Why would people not know who I am?
That's
that's fair.
That's a
but
very good question.
No, I am kidding. Of
there
course.
Are some of them.
I bet there are. Well, I'm PJ. I Kick the PJ. I'm internet storyteller. I like to tell fantastical stories. I like to adventure through space, collect swords, paint miniature figures, all kinds of good things.
I thought you were going to say I like to tell fantastic stories.
Fantastic stories.
You're just saying that all your stories are just fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. brilliant stories.
Yeah. That's just me in a nutshell.
And all the stories you tell, they manifest and form mostly on your YouTube channel, right?
Yeah. They do, yeah. I've been making stuff on YouTube for about 10, 11 years, which is 10, 11 years too many.
Yeah.
but yeah, and it's a good old time, really. I love it.
What are you doing anything? What are you up to?
This podcast.
Oh. You got anything in the near future? You got any cool projects? Got any?
Of course. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm always working on a few things at once, at least. So I'm doing a music video at the minute, which is it's quite fun for me because I don't often do music videos. So I'm getting to flex some new muscles. I also don't often flex muscles. So that's quite fun as well.
You are puny.
Thank you.
When you look up at the sky and you look at all the stars, what do you think of the most? Apart from obviously what's in space.
I think about how insignificant we all are.
Yep.
On Earth. We're tiny little microscopic ants in the universe, which is quite fun when you really think about it. But I just love how it's, you know, anything could be out there. And I just like to think of the infinite possibilities of things, like, you know, all the kinds of life that is definitely out there. It's definitely, there's no way that there's no life out there.
How crazy would it be if it turns out, like, NASA goes, listen, we've done a survey. There's fuck all in space. There's nothing.
We checked.
We did a big scan.
Yeah. I would be skeptical. Yeah. I would do some research into NASA.
You'd be skeptical of NASA.
Yes. Well, on the subject of space, tell us, dear, what would you say? This is a big question. What would your top three space films be? Films that take place in space have something to do with space.
Ooh, good question.
I need to think of mine.
Well, I mean, I think Alien definitely has to be.
I think
it'd
be
there.
On all of ours. Yeah. That'd be in all three of ours.
I love a good bit of Alien.
Absolutely. The Alien franchise is something. It hurts me to call it a franchise because it was such a spectacular film that then just spawned into something. It's something that they just won't let die. And some would argue that there's a similar thing with Star Wars, but at least Star Wars was always episodic and it's still going and it's transformed into this cultural like touchstone.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with Star Wars, we're getting prequels and sequels. We're going sideways, upwards, backwards, back in time.
Yeah, forward in time. Yeah.
Well, we've been doing that with Alien now. We're going backwards. And that's all we're doing at the moment, right?
It's just going backwards.
We've gone backwards and we're sort of going forwards a bit now.
We're slowly creeping back to where we were 40 years ago. So I'm just like...
We have to keep going back.
Yeah,
to eliminate all the mystery of the original movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that was, you know... Everybody, when they saw that movie, they went, Alien is so good because it really does take the audience, like, on a journey.
Yeah.
It's a space mystery, essentially.
I enjoy Alien so much more knowing that a robot Michael Fassbender smuggled the eggs in his throat and then vomited them into a little incubator, a little fridge thing, on a spaceship.
Mate, I've got chills just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear it.
It's true. All of it.
All of it. Michael Fassbender. Throwing up fucking eggs and putting them in a tray. The fingering is all true.
What else?
That's the only one, isn't it?
Any other films in space?
I mean, Arrival's a recent one.
Yeah.
That, like, I really dug.
I mean, Star Wars is the obvious one.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I watched Star Wars last night, actually.
Oh, yeah. You watched The Phantom Menace.
The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
How was it? Does it hold up?
It holds up as something, for
as
sure.
As good or better or worse than Sharkboy and Lavagirl?
Dear God.
Apples and oranges, maybe.
What a question to pose to me. It's really... I mean, the thing that struck me most is really how much Jar Jar is in that film.
Oh, my goodness.
I've not seen The Phantom Menace for quite a while, and I just forgot that he's in, like, every shot.
Yeah.
fail.
Yeah.
I can't remember how often he is in it.
He's in it a lot.
Every shot's a bit of hyperbole.
He's sort of the thread, because you have multiple stories sort of come together and cross paths, but he's the one, like, consistent little thread. He's the one little thing.
Yeah.
He's the connecting tissue.
Yeah.
He's the key to all of this.
And I know people like to joke about that. They're like, the prequels, Jar Jar Binks. But no, honestly, after not watching it for such a long time, I am quite surprised at how often he is in that film. Yeah.
I did have a Jar Jar toy when I was younger.
Yeah,
did I. Quite ashamed to say.
I did as well. It had, like, a long kind of rubbery tongue.
And it would stick to things.
It would stick.
Oh, I didn't have that.
I think I got it in a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
What?
For some reason, I think I got it at KFC.
Ooh.
But maybe I got one of those, like, where they make the characters' heads at the top of a cup.
So, hang on. So his tongue sticks to things. So what, you just stick him on, like, a window and you've got this, like, guy's head dangling there by his tongue?
Yeah.
You know, the classic Jar Jar scene.
How's that fun?
Where he's like, hang on, lads, Misa got this. And shoots his head off.
he detonates.
Yeah, and he detonates and destroys the
Death Star.
The Wi-Fi router that connects all the droids together.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, Anakin thinks he did it, but he wasn't. It was Jar Jar. Binks.
I mean, I love how... Isn't Jar Jar... Didn't they retroactively put him in Return of the Jedi?
Yes. Yeah, at the end, they're all cheering.
Yeah, you go back to Naboo. There's like an inserted like CGI shot of Naboo, and you can hear him saying, "Wisa free."
Wisa free!
Yeah, you can hear it.
It's quite horrible.
He's in it, mate, and he's alive. And you... I mean, we talked about this already, I guess, but in canon, Jar Jar is a street performer now, and people are throwing like tomatoes and stuff on him.
Yeah, kids like kick him and stuff like that for fun, because everyone blames him for the war.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. They took that sort of inside internet joke and made it canon, which was quite funny.
Seems justified.
Yeah.
What about anyone seen Starship Troopers?
I love Starship Troopers.
I've heard it's great. I need to watch it.
Have you not seen Starship Troopers?
I've heard it's fab.
You've not seen it, Bertie?
I've not seen it.
Let's watch it now.
Yeah, let's watch it right now.
All right, the rest of the podcast will be a beat for beat of us silently watching Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers is great.
That's good fun.
What's that? Another one I haven't seen. What's the one that's like a parody? It's got Alan Rickman and Sigourney Weaver. It's a parody of like Star Trek and stuff.
Oh, no.
Apparently, that's incredible.
I know which one you mean. Yeah. I've seen it. I can't remember.
Something Quest?
Okay,
it's like Space Quest or something.
Galaxy Quest. We figured that out naturally.
Yes, we did. You know, another space film, weirdly, this is a weird one, but it is a bit integral part of my like childhood or whatever, and I think you experienced this film as well, is the Jimmy Neutron movie.
Yeah, the Jimmy Neutron movie!
Which, weirdly, Jimmy Neutron was a movie and then a TV show.
Was it not a TV show first?
No, they used the movie as like a springboard for the TV show. It's so weird.
Who? Christ.
Have you seen it?
I haven't. I've seen the show, not the film.
Man, the movie's splendid. Really great.
As a kid, like, because the whole thing was that this alien race had stolen all the parents, and all the kids had to. They souped up all these like Ferris wheels and like fairground rides, and they took off to space without their parents. They want to get their parents back because they appreciate them, and they didn't. They took them for granted.
Yeah.
And then there's a giant chicken. It's a good film.
So that's your third favorite film. I think we can all agree Independence Day is somewhere up there. Classic Welcome to Earth B-word.
Is that what they say?
But he says Welcome to Earth, bitch, doesn't he? And punches an alien.
It comes out of the saucer like steaming, and it's like, oh, yeah. It's so warm. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, and then he punches it in the face.
What's your favorite alien design in a movie?
Oh,
I mean, the Xenomorph obviously is a great one.
Ooh. I mean, the Mars Attacks aliens.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty fun.
No, they are fun. They are fun, yeah.
The butt ugly Martians are also, you know, up there.
We got the coat. Don't you dare mention butt ugly. You know butt ugly Martians.
I know the butt ugly Martians.
They are blue, yeah.
They're the blue double D double dies. Is that canon?
Could be.
Talking of Star Wars again, I was watching Love Island the other day. Sorry.
Yeah. You don't have to apologize.
It's silly. It's silly fun. Whatever. And we were thinking, weren't we, about like, what if Rey, at the end of The Force Awakens, all this stuff has happened to her. She's gone on this journey. She's like, okay, all I have to do is I have to find Luke Skywalker. He's the key to all of this. So I'm going to get in the Millennium Falcon, a ship he'll recognize, and we'll get things going. She gets to his island where the map was leading her to. She gets there. And she walks a little bit, and instead of finding Luke Skywalker, she finds the villa
of Love Island. Wow.
And I guess Luke Skywalker's a massive troll, because he was like, she doesn't want to go here.
Yeah.
This is where I'll make people think I am.
I came to Love Island for no reason at all?
I came here to die.
I came on this island to die. It's time for the Jedi to end.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just like a funny... I mean, like...
Well, it's the image of Rey showing up on those shores
with
her little satchel. She's looking around, the music's going... Dun, 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 dun. We're like, in the theatre, we're all like going, oh my God, what are they building up to? And then it's just some guy from Essex with a tan, Danny Dyer's daughter.
Who are you? Yeah.
Oh, who's this then? Oh, what's she got? She's got like a... you got like a stick or something? What is that? Is that a vape?
It's like... Is it a vape? This is Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. Have you seen him? I need to give it to him. We need to bring him. It's the resistance. We need him.
Right, I might just sit down and have a cocktail.
Yeah, come here. Let me have a look at that. Is that a vape? Straight through his face.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Then they all start screaming at her, blaming her for it. And then we cut to like the talking heads going, I didn't trust this bitch. And she showed up.
So let me get this straight. Is this an alternate ending to Star Wars, or is this the beginning of an episode of Love Island?
Like, it's both, baby.
So it's a crossover.
Yeah, yeah, this was
baby Star Wars.
Did you not
Wars
see the film?
Everywhere. Yeah, did you?
Did you not see the film?
I saw a different version, I think.
You're not. That was the director's cut. And you have, PJ, have you ever actually seen Love Island?
Absolutely not.
No. You, all right.
No, I've got to hold my hands up. I'm not familiar with. I've obviously heard people talking about it because it seems very popular, I mean, right now.
My favorite thing about it is these people are on this island. Boiling. They're so red. They're so red. They're on this island.
I know how
boiling,
they feel.
Boiling for 2 months, right? There's no TV. They got no phones. They have nothing. But they're just so isolated. For 2 months of your life, you're just like in the sun, baking, doing nothing, talking to people who are just like you.
I suppose they had to remove all entertainment so they could, you know, get to know each other, I suppose, right? Sounds awful.
I
mean,
yeah. I like to think that someone stands on those shores and looks up at the sky, at space, yeah, and thinks there's got to be more to life than what I'm doing right now. There's got to be some other bloody reality show in space that I can go do.
Space Island.
Yeah, Space Island. Yeah.
Hit me up with that. I would go to Space Planet. Island. Yeah, well, Love Planet. Yeah.
Space. Oh, Love Planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you go to Love Planet?
I would.
A whole planet dedicated to love.
Oh, that sounds exhausting.
It does.
Pink oceans.
Oh, stop. Ugh.
That make you a bit like, you sit in the ocean going, babe, do you feel a bit weird sitting in this ocean? Yeah, I am. I'm gushing. I want a nosh.
There's something in the water.
There's something in the water that makes you really lusty.
I want a nosh.
I want to have a nosh. Babe, you've literally never used the word nosh to describe that ever. What are you talking about?
Who would host this? I would like to see like a maybe like Jeff Goldblum or something. Like,
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
Hosting Love Planet. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Love Planet. Anyone some love? Or would it be like, it'd just be loads of different species and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Interspecies.
Interspecies love, yeah.
Yeah. Galactic love. So you'd get like blobozoids, you'd get like, you know, velociraptors. Not velociraptors, velociraptors.
Velociraptors.
Oh, that's an alien species.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously you'd have the odd human here and there.
So we've got Jeff Goldblum hosting the fictional show Love Planet, and we've got Star Wars being a seemingly perpetual force in the world. Do you think we're going to look back on things like Love Island and Star Wars and think, what were we doing? I mean, Star Wars is probably just going to be here in the next 50 years anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
to a year.
I don't know for certain, but I'm going to hazard a guess that Love Island won't become as big of a cultural tentpole as Star Wars. I don't know, but maybe.
Unless it's taken in these new sort of cosmic directions that we're discussing, I think it's going to fall off.
You don't think there's going to be a prequel trilogy to Love Island?
I think we just don't need it.
Oh, that's fair.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's something that's often forgotten about.
I like the idea that they're in a business meeting for that. They're trying to pitch the prequel trilogy to Love Island. They're like, no, mate, it's not like, I'm not saying it's going to be crap. I'm just saying it shouldn't exist.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. Like, looking back on Star Wars as well, I just, in the future, I can't even. Is it going to continue? When will it cease? When will it stop? Because we always joke about, like, oh, we're going to have Star Wars movies until we die. But, like,
I mean, it's till it literally stops making money.
Literally. Or until people just stop being interested in it.
Yeah,
it's just that. Because there are franchises that just stopped when people were like, yeah, okay, I'm done with that now. Mm-hmm. So I think the same might happen with Star Wars.
What's a franchise that ran its course really, like, really tastefully and organically and didn't outstay its welcome?
I guess Harry Potter.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, whether you love it or hate it, that did its thing. It came, it saw, it conquered.
Oh, Batman. Batman.
Did it?
What? The Dark Knight?
Well, Nolan's Batman, I would say.
Three movies, in and out. Bosh.
Two of three were pretty decent.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first two.
Wait, what?
Well, The Dark Knight Rises.
You didn't like The Dark Knight Rises?
I don't like The Dark Knight Rises. Do you like The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
I like parts of it.
Actually?
Yeah.
Oh, right, fair
enough. It's fun. It's crazy.
I guess. all right, we're going to have this conversation now. I think it throws logic out of the window for the whole movie. There's also a spelling mistake in that movie.
On the newspaper.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
On the newspaper.
They spell heist wrong in the movie and they've never corrected
heist.
It.
Heist.
Heist. Heist is it. It's a bank heist.
I don't know if I could ever watch it the same way again, now that you've told me that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's a moment in The Dark Knight Rises where Bruce Wayne is in the Batcave and he's looking at some newspaper headlines, and instead of the word heist, it says heist. They've just switched the I and E around.
That's incredible.
And it was in the cinema. I remember, like, it felt like a glitch in the Matrix. I just went,
so that threw you off. That threw me off. Watching a film about a man who dresses up as a bat to fight criminals, seeing a spelling mistake threw you off.
No, I think the bit where Bane says, I got this letter from Commissioner Gordon saying that Harvey Dent was actually the good guy.
It's a
like,
sick note.
Not a single person went, could he have just like made that up
yeah.
on the spot?
Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon thinks the people of Gotham are all a bunch of bloody weeaboos.
It's written in Crayola.
They're all really cool. Yeah, I was like, that's dumb.
I would have loved that personally.
Also, when some scientists, like honestly, anyway, if two scientists like, hello, Mr. Man with loads of money, we've invented something. And he goes, oh, sick, what have you invented? We've invented a renewable energy source. And he goes, what? A renewable energy source? That sounds amazing. He's like, I know, right? How could we have, you know, that sounds amazing. Are there any setbacks? Yes. If you take it out of its holder, it becomes a nuclear bomb.
Look, go, Dean.
Could we invest money to make it not do that?
Look, Dean, not like, everybody watches films for logic. Sometimes you just want to kick back and watch a man dress up as a bat.
Well, look, don't write something as tight as The Dark Knight.
The thing is,
fair enough.
I remember, I don't think I've seen The Dark Knight Rises since I saw it in the cinema in 2012. And we've established that in 2012, when I went to the movies, I thought every film I saw was the best thing I'd ever seen.
Really?
I told you I thought Prometheus, I tweeted it was the best film I've ever seen.
Does that tweet still exist?
I think so.
Oh, mate, I'm going to find that.
Yeah. When I saw Dark Knight Rises, I was like, I think I thought it was really good. It was my second best film I've ever seen.
PJ, you like video games and you like space. You like space video games?
Oh, Dean, yes. Dean.
Oh.
Sorry, I just touched your hand there for no reason.
It was very sensual. I saw it.
I love space games. Two that jumped my head immediately are the Metroid franchise, specifically Super Metroid on the Super NES, one of my faves. Also, Star Fox 64, brilliant space game. Both of these games very much inspired by Star Wars as well, weirdly. No link for me there, but as in, like, I don't like them because they just are.
Yeah. Metroid shares quite a lot with Alien, actually.
Alien. It does. Sorry, Alien. Metroid is Alien. Star Fox is Star Wars.
Yeah.
In Super Metroid, the big boss Ridley just announced for Smash. Oh, whoa.
Oh, whoa.
Ridley is named after Ridley Scott.
So that's why. Because when I saw that creature announced for Smash, I don't know what it was, but I was like, that's called Ridley.
Yeah, Ridley Scott.
It is like a very human name for
this,
like a dragon.
Purple dragon monster.
Yeah, it actually looks like a xenomorph as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And it's named after Ridley Scott.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, a space video game that I love, and I know you love as well.
No Man's Sky.
Is Mass Effect, like the Mass Effect games.
The Mass Effect trilogy.
Specifically Mass Effect 2 for me.
Yeah, it's the best one.
It was one of the first games that, like, I remember being at school and just like not being able to think about anything else and being just desperate, gagging to like get home and finish it. And I remember I had a busted ass Xbox that would scratch up my games.
Ooh.
And every game I put in there, it was an inevitability that it would destroy it. And it did to Mass Effect. And I think I cried. I did cry.
I mean, you were asking for it, really. Just get the Xbox fixed.
Couldn't be bothered.
Oh.
I've never played a Mass Effect game before. Would you say if I played it now, it would still hold up?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to call because they've not remastered any of them how they resell as every game ever. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, they haven't done that with the original Mass Effect.
I feel like they probably, which is sort of thing they would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you play No Man's Sky, PJ?
I did play No Man's Sky, and I actually really enjoyed it until I realised there was nothing else to do.
Yeah. I think we're the same.
It was beautiful. And floating through space and like blasting down to a planet in one sequence without a loading screen.
Yeah. Seamless. Yeah. Like it just should have been a tenner.
Yeah, like it should have been a bit of a tenner, or like 20 quid.
Yeah,
probably.
Exactly.
But like the moment you repaired your ship and you set off into space for the first time, it was so cool.
It was incredible. That like first moment where, what were they called? What were they called? Monoliths?
Monoliths.
Those big structures that you get sucked into and the music would swell.
Mm.
Hashtag epic.
Yeah,
I would say.
And Bertie does not use hashtags liberally. So
I do not. I do not. You know I mean it.
Dean, I got one I know you love. I love as well. Pikmin.
Oh yeah, Pikmin.
Beautiful space game.
I guess that is a space game.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you. So Pikmin is about a guy called Olimar. He's like a little man. May not be a human. I don't really know what the game's trying to go for. Oh wait, no. I'm talking rubbish. He's not a human. He's a little man alien.
And he created his own race of
no
creatures. Okay,
no. It's Nintendo we're talking about. Like they don't go into creation.
No one plays God.
But basically, he gets sent on a mission because his home planet's running out of food. and he crash lands on the wrong planet, I think, and discovers these little aliens called Pikmin.
They're like little plant creatures, and they help.
They're cute. I like
they
them.
Can carry things together, and they make cute little noises. They but when like they die, it is the saddest thing you will ever experience
they look
in a
spicy,
video game.
They look zesty. They look like little spices.
I mean, some of them are a bit spicy.
Yeah.
There's little fire Pikmin.
Ooh, that is spicy.
Yeah, there's electric Pikmin with ears.
Yeah.
I don't know why the other ones don't have ears. Like, I don't
good
understand.
Point, yeah.
But that is a great space game, though.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's a proper, like, you're stranded on an alien planet.
Yeah.
And then to say, while we're talking about humans, is that the planet is covered with, like, so you're really small and everything's big, so there might be, like, a giant soda can or something like that. So then as you're playing it, you're like, am I on Earth? But like,
I like that they leave things? It. I like that they leave it up to interpretation.
Well, yeah. Was that not based on? Was that not Miyamoto? He was inspired by like when he was a kid, he would go out exploring like forests and like his garden and stuff. And like, I think he was inspired by like nature and stuff like that for it, which I probably reads in the game. But
yeah.
I mean, Miyamoto takes a lot of inspiration from like real life. Things.
Everything around him.
That's why his games now are crap. Star Fox Zero sucked. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that says what I mean about Miyamoto.
How could you, Dean?
I thought this day would
everyone else is doing a better job with his shit than he does.
Hell is frozen over officially.
Well, he didn't make Odyssey.
So you're right.
He didn't.
He didn't make Breath of the Wild. Didn't make.
Look at his resume. Look at his resume. He literally hasn't touched the game for like 15 years.
All right, chill. Stop being so mean about Miyamoto. What if he's listening?
I want to beat him up.
All right.
Miyamoto, if you're listening,
Dean has
stand outside my house and we'll start.
The gauntlet has been thrown to the ground.
Stand outside my house and we'll start.
Yeah.
There must be a more efficient way to organise a brawl. Well, we're running out of floating podcast space room fuel. It seems our time with our guest PJ is going to be coming to an end very shortly. What have you learned? What will you take with you on your journey?
Please,
from this experience,
I don't want to go.
My hand is.
I don't want to go.
My
guys.
Hand is floating over the button to eject PJ.
No,
the cosmos.
You can't just send me into space with one shoe.
Have you had a good time?
I've had a fantastic time. Any time to just get together with my favorite boys to talk about space is a time that I cherish.
Push the button.
What? Yeah. No.
One last question, PJ. If space travel in your lifetime is made and it's great and you can go to space, what's the first thing you do? Where do you go?
Oh, I'm probably going to just kind of go find just my own little meteorite, sit on it, probably claim it, name it.
Dig a trench so you can go toilet.
I would piss off the meteorite. Ooh, into space.
I'm into that.
You know what will happen? You'll have a wee and then it will start rotating around it.
And it will freeze and stab you through the eye.
Yeah, that'd icy be, piss.
That's the way I want to go.
I'll see it and be like, wow, look, it's magic. It sparkles, PJ.
It fucking stinks.
There's no smells in space. Come on.
Sorry, obviously.
Oh, sorry.
We're being stupid.
They're going to introduce that in the next Star Wars movie. The smells
in space.
Oh,
that ship stinks.
Oh, smelly ship.
Smelly ship.
Kylo's on that one.
And you can see the people smashing on their keyboard. There's no fucking smells in space. They've ruined it.
George Lucas, how could you do this to me?
Kathleen.
The Millennium Falcon stinks like Lynx Africa. You know it does. You know it does. You know it does. Anyway, guys, thank you. PJ, I'm going to press the button now.
All right, see you later, guys. Yeah, it's been great.
Help yourself to a can of Lynx Africa on
there. Yeah, we've got a freezer full of Lynx Africa.
Oh, that's disgusting.
No drinks. Yeah. So, if you want to get fresh.
That's what I've been drinking. Yeah. That's why my breath.
That's why you think we're in space, mate. Okay, all right. Yeah, see you in a bit.
See you later, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye!
And that was that. Thank you to Acast, Shotglass Media and producer Paddy for production support. If you enjoyed this podcast, please like and subscribe. We put out a podcast every Monday. Also, if you're feeling a bit typey, why don't you leave us a little review, you know, either praises or tear us to pieces, whatever you feel like you want to do. If you'd like to get in touch about any discussion topics, tweet us at Dean Dobbs or Bertie Gilbert. Just type in the names, you'll find us. We got display pictures with our beautiful face on it. But yeah, if you'd like us to talk about a particular movie scene or a video game or a TV show, whatever, like, just hit us with it. We look forward to hearing from you. Take care. Stay hydrated.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.